You're listening to the Kansas Blotter Audio Podcast, poetry, fiction, and nonfiction recorded in the Lawrence, Kansas, and Topeka, Kansas area.
Ladies and gentlemen, Catherine Ellsworth.
Okay, I'm gonna start with a kind of a throwaway poem because it's about the old format of Facebook, and before it's completely obsolete, I want to throw the poem out there because it's about my son and his girlfriend. it's really about Facebook and how weird it is that people are so bared on it sometimes. It's called Intimacy. There is the small square image of my son's face and the words, "I love you," on his girlfriend's Facebook page. Five people like this. My son's girlfriend replies, :D, heart, and uploads a picture of a bowl of ice cream with "I love you" written in Hershey's syrup around the rim. On the wall of a girl who lives on our street, her dad writes, "I can't believe you said you were too busy to come over, and now I see you're on Facebook." "Dad," she replies in comments, "I have a paper, I'm tired, I'm just checking my messages." Her dad posts immediately, "Well, it hurt my feelings." She posts, "Dad, on Facebook, really?" Then deletes all. A young woman, a friend of a friend, must have sent a man a message, something private. But he's old and doesn't know and replies in her status box, "Sure, I'd love to see you sometime." And then there's the requisite farmer's poem. So it's about three farmer's daughters. I think you'll probably be able to guess which one I am. And it was in Scissors and Spackle this month. Farmer's daughters. One, I know what they do in the woods. They play house. They collect twigs and feathers and relics from the creek's edge. Rusty pails, broken dishes, wire, bones. They dig for crawdads. They disturb nests and overturn rocks. They trap minnows wading through the shallows together. Two, my oldest girl puts notes in my pockets. "I love you. Do you love me? Check here for yes." My oldest girl takes care of the others while their mother is at work. She brings me lunch, oatmeal cookies, a thermos of milk, fresh water. She's a good girl. The middle girl can carry 2 5-gallon buckets, full, one balanced on each side like I showed her. She can cut cows out of corn bareback. She can shoot the Luger I brought back from Germany. I trust her with guns and horses. The youngest will play all day wherever I leave her. In the yard, under the bushes, whispering to cats, or on a pile of grain in the back of the truck. She'll ride in the tractor with me for hours, watching the field like it was the bottom of an ocean. She'll fall asleep outside at night on a blanket, but when she wakes, she cries for her mother. Three, in the woods, my girls practice walking as quietly as possible. "Like Indians," the little one tells me, "like boys." My dad always wanted boys, so. Oh, wow. Horse. This horse foundered on grains, on lush grasses, on rocky trails. This horse foundered under its own weight from hard work, from cold water. This horse's hooves twisted, sank into soft dirt. The vet came and lifted each hoof, bending it up like a cup as he spoke of coffin bones and said the horse was lame. This horse went down, foundering in blue dusk that is purple or black, a kind of falling. And on the first night of Writer's Workshop, this last session, the only session that I made it to, Leah had a writing assignment, and I can't remember exactly what it was. Writing exercise. And well, they always feel like assignments. And I hate to disappoint, but most of the time I do. And so, what was it? Something about contacting, if you would say something to somebody that you had wanted to and you never did. So there was a girl in my son's grade who was only at his school for a short while, and then she got sent to an alternative school. And within a year, she was abducted, she was murdered. Her name's Nicole Winter, and I've kind of been obsessed about her because she represents kind of disposable girls to me. So this is called Wild Girl Winter. Wild Girl, Winter. One. Winter is coming. The dark-rimmed rooms smell like rotting oranges. In the video on YouTube, you are getting ready to go out. Another girl straightens your hair. Another girl shares your mascara. There is a rap song playing, and sometimes you sing, or two sing, or two girls grind while you laugh, spreading green eyeshadow with the tip of your little finger. In the other room, a woman is framed, maybe a mother. She is watching TV, slouched down, feet up, smoking a cigarette. She is intent on her program, undisturbed, as if you were not loud, as if you were already gone. Two. A newspaper article chronicled your last day at school. It said, combative relationship with authority, and included the words volatile, distraught, and also crucible moment. According to witnesses, you shouted, "I hate this place," as you ran down the hall. The principal of Hope Street had asked your stepmother to come get you, and when she wouldn't and didn't, he wanted someone from campus security to go after you, but no one wanted to, and no one did. At night, the principal lays next to his young wife while a cold wind claws at the eaves, tongues the chimney. His blonde daughters murmur under soft sheets, and he remembers your red striped coat slipping off your shoulders as you crossed 19th. Three. In typography, a ligature is two narrow letters formed together, like F and L. At the preliminary hearing, God's honest truth. Your father is wearing a t-shirt that says, "I was sooner born and sooner bred, and when I die, I'll be sooner dead." The door to the courtroom is scratched. The copper-colored switch plates are greasy with fingerprints. Flags hang limp in stale air. There's no clock. The windows face north. Teenage girls fill the back row. One girl has on pink nail polish. Another girl wears a big pair of sunglasses on top of her head. The girl at the end has drawn small hearts on the top of her foot with a black Sharpie. The coroner testifies. There were marks on your neck, consistent with a ligature, There were cervical fractures at C6 and C7, as well as skull fractures. There were no drugs in your system. There was the presence of semen. He said your body was too damaged by heat to lay flat. You were naked, except for your socks, which didn't burn. I'm sorry. Makes me mad. 4. Sometimes in winter, they throw the dead away someplace that is beautiful in summer. In one dirty brown season, a man was discarded on a river road, and later trees covered that road with fragrant green shadows where men ride bikes panting on acorn-scented air. Sometimes in winter, they throw the dead away someplace that is beautiful in summer. Sometimes.